here we go. What's up, everybody? Uh-oh, I forgot to go live here with my local recording.
Am I live yet?
Yep, you're live. Oh, nice. Hey, everybody, what's going on? Welcome to episode 7 of Unfiltered. And it's Destiny and I again, as usual. And some people keep always asking, like, why is Destiny a guest on this show again? No, yes, Destiny's part of the show, okay? So
Dude.
It's me and him all the time. Sometimes we'll have some other people come on from time to time, but no, it's just me and him, so you're going to see this guy every week, or for the
it's
most
like shit, dude.
Yeah,
ever since Inside the EG had to step down from doing no fluff, that's what we do here, right? You can't have no fluff without...
No fluff, exactly. No fluff without
just
what?
Just kidding. Well, me, man. I'm the least fluffiest person you'll ever meet in your life.
That's right. No, that's probably true. I don't think there's anybody else I can think of that's less fluffy. But anyways, me and you were talking about something, so I just said, oh, let's fuck it. Let's just start the show so that we could, at least you guys could hear what we were talking about. And I was telling him that I should have him on Pro Corner sometime because my new initiative with Pro Corner is all about trying to figure out the best regimen for players, and was just telling Steven I don't plan on just having players on the show. Like, I just want anybody that has good ideas to come on. And you were saying I should have... Or, you know, you're talking about your training regimen or something, right? And
I just think that you should just bring people from the outside world to talk about how they practice shit. Because it's not a mystery, like, how practice works, like, in athletics or in music or in any art. It's not, like, a mystery. There's nothing that needs to be discussed. There's no new ground being uncovered by esports players. Like, people have known how to effectively practice for probably hundreds of years, if not thousands of years. It's like, there's no mystery behind it, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I think at some point we will kind of explore, you know, again, non kind of gaming. Oops, I covered that. Non gaming, you know, in just segments or whatever, and have them kind of compare or just see how it is relative to just esports, right? But for the moment, you know, to start off, I wanted to get just folks that are in our industry and they already have ideas, right? And I'm a little distracted because I'm, like, trying to fix the topic thing, the topic
what
list
the fuck,
here.
Man?
Yeah, fuck you, man. I left the last one, so it was saying racism. It's like, we're not talking about racism again, damn it. Community policing, right? That's what we're doing. Community policing and honor system. That's what we're going to do first. Okay, there you go.
Is there, like, so you know how, like, when you're driving down the road, sometimes there are motorists that will flash lights at you if they see a cop, to kind of, like, give you a heads up? Truckers do that sometimes. Is there anything similar to that on 4chan, where there's, like, an alert that goes out when there's, like, a mod trolling the forums? Does anybody know? So, like, you know not to, like, shitpost it at certain points?
I don't know of any, no, I don't. I don't know, any of you guys in the chat know anything about that?
Yeah, I was just curious.
Yeah, I'm sure you're curious.
Mods are scary as fuck, man. If you name this episode Unfiltered with Bisou, you would get, like, all 25 viewers from 4chan to watch this for, like, 2 minutes.
Great.
All right, sorry, I'm ready.
Exactly,
okay, let's do it.
That's exactly what we want. Holy shit. Okay, let's kick it off. So what we're going to do today, guys, we're going to talk about the Tribunal and I guess just in general the community policing games, like specific games, right? And I know you guys have been wanting us to talk about that. So we'll start off with that. We'll talk a little bit about documentaries. I wanted to talk a little bit about it just given that we have so many documentaries that have taken donations over the last 2 years and we still haven't seen a product for it. And so, you know, I kind of want to get your thoughts and just have maybe a discussion about you know, just about that in general and just whether documentaries are like, why do people even do documentaries and that sort of thing when they're probably not going to get much out of it, honestly, in the end, that sort of thing. And we'll kind of close things off with WCSNA just cause there was some more drama going on. We talk about WCSNA, I think, every single week and it's like, I don't even want to, but it's just so hard when shit always,
we're going to get to the episode where we're going to be like, man, WCSNA was really awesome last time, wasn't
I know.
It?
Well, at least maybe we can mention Suppy, too. I mean, Suppy actually beat two Koreans last night, so that's all awesome. But, okay, let's kick things off with the Tribunal. Oh, one last thing, guys. If you have questions for Q&A, go ahead and post it in the Reddit thread. I'll post it here. The link is right here, guys. people are like, you should hire somebody. I need somebody to do some of this production shit for me. It gets crazy. Okay, so Tribunal, you know, I guess we're talking about League of Legends in particular, and just game communities or game users, you know, policing their own game or being the jury or the judge for certain issues, right, that come up. So what do you think of that? What do you think of the concept in general?
Personally, I don't know, man. It's a really complicated topic. The light guy, LYTE from Riot has actually wrote a lot. I should know this, but I want to say he's like studying. He either has a master's or he's like working towards a PhD, in like behavioral psychology or something.
Yeah.
Somebody might know. Like, this is like a really big like experiment kind of thing for him to see how he can like modify. And analyze player behavior based on what they do in the Tribunal and whatnot.
Based on what they do, okay. I mean, the Tribunal, yeah. You're only qualified to even be in the Tribunal if you have a certain reputation, right, or honor, or, like, I forget how it is. I've never been called up by the Tribunal.
I'm pretty sure any player has the ability to log on and do what, and go and vote in the Tribunal. You don't have to have, like, a certain amount of honor.
Oh, I see, okay. Okay, so that's... Wow, okay, that's...
Oh, you have to be past level 20, so you're kind of scared.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I remember that. pre-work. Oh, that's a weird way to do it. Wow, okay. I mean, because, you know, you could see that... I don't know, you could see people gaming that system pretty hard, right?
Well, kind of. I mean, it's actually... There's been a lot of thought that went into the system. As much as I hate it for my own personal reasons, the guy's done a lot of work to try to make the system work. There are quite a few fail-safes. Obviously, you see the thread on Reddit pop up every now and then with one that slipped through the cracks with people like, oh, like, fuck this. This is such bullshit. The Tribunal's so broke. When in reality, I think, like, the margin of error in the Tribunal is less than 1% or something, so...
How do they measure error? I mean...
What?
I mean, how do you measure
that? Oh, error
isn't
reports that get up, like, the reports that get overturned, where somebody voted guilty in the Tribunal, and then upon further review, they...
okay, but that's not necessarily error. I mean, that could have been... You know, it could have been a troll report, right? And
well, see, you'd think that, but they actually have, like I said, there's a lot of fail-safes built into the system where you're given, like, a certain rating based on, like, not it's not just one person that reviews a case. It'll be several people, maybe dozens, maybe hundreds. I'm not sure how many, but more than one person will review a case, so they go with the majority ruling on a case, and then it'll let you know how you voted in regards to the majority. So, like, if you voted to punish, it'll tell you, like, whether most people agreed with you or disagreed. And then I think you can have your Tribunal... your Tribunal reversed based on, or your Tribunal, your
privileges
votes in the Tribunal.
Yeah, privileges.
Whether or not you can vote guilty or not can be hampered by how many false reports you turn in. Like, if you're voting against the grain all the time, then there are consequences for that, you know?
Right. Gosh, I can still see people gaming it hard, though.
It's really hard to do it. The only way to game it, honestly, is if I were to grab, like, my entire stream of people, of, like, if I were to have, like, a big stream of, like, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 more people, and get all of us to go on the Tribunal and look for games, then you could probably do it. But it would take, like, a concentrated effort. It would take, like, a big concentrated effort of people to actually, like, try to game it or to get people out of it or something.
I wonder what percentage of the users actually participate in the Tribunal.
I'm not sure, but I'm sure there's a number out there if you look for it.
You think it's actually a whole number?
What do you mean?
You think it's actually like 1%? I mean, over 1%?
I would say under 5%.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's not bad then, under 5%. Because then you have to think that those are the people that actually care, right? I mean, like...
Yeah, definitely. So. Probably less than 1%, though. I think you're right. Probably less than 1%.
Okay, so I guess the question that we should probably ask is if that's the best way to really police... your game, or, you know, because efficient, I can see why they would do it. It's very efficient, you know, having the community, you know, kind of, again, police itself, you know, they don't have to do anything, right? I mean, and they definitely reduce the amount of employees they need to actually look over this, I think. So, like, Blizzard, for instance, Blizzard probably has a whole team that probably has to handle all this crap, right? Whenever shit happens like this. But so in a way I can see why they've done this, you know, because it's efficient, but is this the best way in your opinion?
This is like something where I don't know if it's the best way, but I couldn't think of a better way to do it, and it's probably better than doing nothing. It's really easy sometimes, especially people in our position, to sit back and take pot shots at the way that a current system is working. Obviously, I think there are some flaws to the tribunal, and there are some things about it that I don't like, but I mean, it's something that he's trying to do. I don't think anything like this has ever been done before in the history of, like, all internet kind. So, I mean, I applaud them for trying something, and hopefully they're receptive to feedback.
What do you mean, like, internet kind? I mean, this is like a feedback system, in a way. I mean, it's
well, players policing and voting over other players, having a 100% automated ban system. Typically, in every game that I've ever been aware of, you have moderators and stuff that are appointed to handle that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you mean the actual decision. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, like the decisions, the whole policing. In a perfect world, right now the system is set up such that they could handle it without anybody, without any intervention at all. Obviously, they need intervention to adjust the system or to step in if something crazy happens for like permanent bans and whatnot. But for the most part, it's a completely automated system where the players are policing the other players, which is an interesting concept, but...
Yeah, what do you think about what do you think about a system that's just pure feedback and... there's obviously levels of feedback that, you know, you wouldn't be put into games anymore, right? What do you think of that? Like, you'd have to give feedback after every game, maybe? Because, you know, I'm trying to figure out how, like, of course there'll be trolls, right? But how to actually override it with just pure numbers. Like, the default would probably be positive, right? You'd have to go and change it to negative, proactively, right? To actually... kind of quote-unquote, you know, give a guy
a
bad
name. Oh, so
you're
saying, like, a force, like, at the end of the game, you'd have to rate your teammates 1 to 5 for how pleasant they were to play with?
Yeah, or just, like, either just, like, it could just even be binary. It could just be, like, positive or negative. And it's positive by default. I wonder if that would work better, because that way, you know, the actual ban, I guess banning or whatever, is not decided by any, it's not decided by any human. It's like, kind of, it's automated, right? It's decided by heuristic.
Everything up to the perm ban is automated, yeah.
Yeah.
Once a permanent ban happens, moderators step in at that point to make sure
Oh, because that's how it is right now. Okay, I see. So it's kind of like a feedback system at this point. It's just... It's kind of weird. It's a feedback system on a case versus a feedback system on the player. You know what I mean? Like, there's a difference there, which... Because the reason I bring out a feedback system is that's how, like, most of these websites do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the popular websites, let's just say eBay, for instance, right? It was completely based off a feedback system. Actually, I know the guy that even invented it. It's worked phenomenally, right, for them. And it's proven to be a really good model, too. So that's why I was wondering if it could be applied to games, too.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to... I mean, it would be a completely different model. They would have to abandon the tribunal thing completely to head down that route. It would be completely different. I mean, it could work, but, I mean, I don't know.
It's just as efficient, that's for sure. They don't have to do anything either, you know, to do... Except for provide the UI to do it. You know, that's all they have to do, but... Do you think a game like StarCraft should have it?
No, not at all. the reason why it's so important in League of Legends and not so much in StarCraft is because in League of Legends, your happiness is not your own responsibility. Your enjoyment of the game can be held captive by toxic players sometimes. In StarCraft, if you want to have fun and play a game and somebody's hassling you, you just fucking mute them. Grow the fuck up, mute them, and you're done with it. In League of Legends, if you want to play a game and have fun and some guy on your team wants to be a dick or a cocksucker or go feed all day and troll you, like, you're fucked. You're wasting your time. You're wasting your 50, you know, minutes, hour and a half to just sit there and have some asshole jerk off and waste your time, and that's really unfortunate, so...
Well, I mean, a lot of people have been complaining about what Blizzard does, too, which is, like, there is a reporting system, right? And, I mean, how many times have we...
I don't know they did anything with that.
There is a system, right? There is something in the UI where you can report somebody, but that's that's what I mean. At least a tribunal is somewhat transparent. Right, you can tell what's going on. You can see the cases, and that's
You have no idea what goes on in the Blizzard.
Yeah,
I must have reported Deezer and said that I was gonna. I think I like word for word copied and pasted in like 500 reports, like literally 500 reports. I reported like 15 times after every game, saying that I was gonna hunt him down and kill him if they didn't like do something or whatever. I don't even know if they check reports in Blizzard. Like, holy shit!
Wow, I mean, they never did anything, right? I mean, Deezer just kept playing, right?
I think I got banned once for disconnecting him from a game. I figured out a bug to do that, but
nice, dude.
And then I got banned for like 3 days. I can't believe they fucking banned me for that. Unfucking believable.
No, it'd be nice. It'd be nice. I think it'd be good if Blizzard did, you know, did something that was a little bit more transparent. I don't know what it would be, but you know, that it could be a feedback system even there too. I mean, just an added Maybe. Just an added metric, right? That just shows you like it's not like you can quit a ladder game, I guess, before it starts. You know, like you can decide just not to play this guy or not.
That could lead to a lot of
ladder manipulation.
Like I said, I don't think it's as important in StarCraft 2 because it's not like you have a teammate that's going to determine whether or not you have fun in a game, you know?
Yeah, that's true. God, it's definitely miserable games when you play with some randoms. Yeah. It just sucks. Totally sucks. Okay, I think one of the viewers or one of the folks that saw the Reddit thread actually asked a question. I figured I'd tack it on to this topic, which was what you think of the honor system. Do you think it's even a factor anymore? It's like nobody even cares about it, or do you think it is accomplishing what I think it was meant to accomplish?
They needed way more transparency in the honor system. Nobody knows how many times you have to get honored to keep a ribbon, or how you lose a ribbon. Like, I don't know. Like, the honor system was kind of cool when it first came out, but no, absolutely no one cares anymore. It's just...
I mean, what do you get for being, like, super high, like, having a ton of honor points?
You get a cool ribbon.
I mean, you're supposed to be, like, some kind of pillar or something. I think the definition of the honor system is, like, trying to find the pillars or the people that are, I mean, super positive people, obviously, and the people are behaving the proper way and
being
pillars for a community. But I don't even know what that means. Like,
well, I mean, originally when it first came out, it was really cool for, like, the first month because a lot of people would try to, like, honor grind and shit. It was funny to see that. and people seemed like they cared a little bit more about honor, but... I mean, as it's going on, like, I don't really think anybody cares about it anymore, and it kind of sucks that it's fallen out of whatever. I don't, like, people don't really honor much anymore, and it's just, meh.
Well, I mean, if there's no real value to it, then, you know, why should anybody honor it?
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, it was exciting when it first came out, but I think it's kind of, most people just kind of meh now,
because
it's just a ribbon.
Yeah, cool. All right, let's go on the next topic. Next topic I kind of want to talk about was documentaries. And here I have this Reddit post that was posted I think yesterday that has kind of a list of all the, you know, these are all StarCraft 2, so obviously documentaries covers all any kind of game, right, in esports, and there's been a lot of them. Like Frag was a good, pretty good documentary that was actually a movie, and lots of other ones, but I kind of particularly wanted to talk about the StarCraft 2 ones because you know, there's been two of them in particular that have, you know, been going on for like 2 years now. I mean, I've seen them. I remember seeing at tournaments, you know, when they kind of first started it. The Star Nation guy, and Star Nation and Sons of StarCraft. I think they started getting donations in like 2011, and we still haven't seen them yet, right? And it's always like it's coming out at the end of this year. It's coming out at the end of this year, but like we never see them. So it's funny because they don't get much backlash from it either, and. You know, I have Richard Lewis on some of my other shows giving, you know, Brute and all these other guys shit for taking donations for their team outs and crap. So I don't get why these guys don't get any flack for it.
I mean, the Star Nation guys have done a lot of work in updating everybody.
Yeah, they come out with trailers. I mean, they come out with stuff like pieces, I guess, every once in a while.
But I think the Star Nation guys have been important in their goal, too. Their goal was not to create something for the StarCraft community. They could give a fuck less. About making something that's really relevant to the scene and blah, 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 blah. Their goal was to make a documentary about esports and what goes on in that for an audience that exists outside of StarCraft. So what they really wanted to do with their documentary was they wanted to find really interesting storylines, and they wanted to follow them over the course of several months to see how the people develop, the different things that happen, you know, with like Naniwa or White Rot, whichever stories they decide to follow.
Sure.
And then to take that story and to wrap that up in a really presentable form, and then to show that to an external audience. So somebody that has no idea like what StarCraft is, or even that esports is a thing, will go to a theater or some small screening, or download it online and watch it, like, oh, fuck, like, well, that's kind of cool, you know? More so than a lot of people were initially expecting it to be like some super relevant documentary that would like lead up to and be posted like the day before a tournament so you could get hyped or something, you know? But that's not what the Star Nation was all about.
I mean, but the thing is like for me is that Star Nation, like you're absolutely right in all those things. And I actually, you know, I've met him before and he's a great guy. And mm-hmm. you know, Justin's a great guy from Austin. Of course, I love Austin. So, you know, I talked to him like, I remember 2 years ago, like in Orlando, you know, when he was, it was very focused on White Raw at the time and stuff. And, It was the first time I actually met you, by the way. You don't even remember it, though.
Dude, I always remember you.
No, you don't. You're.
Yeah, I do.
When I talked to him, I think the scope of it was much smaller, you know? So right now, you know, I think it continually grows and it becomes kind of, in a way, I guess, feature creep. I don't want to say feature creep because it's not. I mean, feature creep is kind of something we use when we're developing stuff. But you know what I mean, though, right? Just things just keep like, oh, this is, we should add this. Now we should add this, you know? And it just, the project just never ends. And I feel like if they fall into that.
Yeah, I understand that, and that could definitely be a possibility. I might be a little bit personally biased because I've talked to Justin, maybe not more than some people, but I've talked to him a fair bit, and it seems to me like that's not going to be an issue. Like I said, like they've got a lot of footage, but he was really big on narrowing it down to like 5 or 6 storylines that he really wanted to follow, and everything, he's kind of curtailing everything around that. So it's not just going to be like some smorgasbord of shit and shit in future creep, you know, stuff, like just idea after idea after idea after idea, and then by the end of it you're like, holy fuck, I don't even know like what I just watched. Like they're really like, from according to him, he said that they're very close-minded, or they're very narrowed in on just like a few different storylines that they're following and keeping everything hyper relevant to those stories that they're following.
Yeah, I mean, I get that, but again, it's like you don't know what you don't know, right? And when it comes to like releasing anything, you have to just put a, you know, you have to kind of put a stake in the ground and say, okay, here, I'm going to release it like at this point, because sure, things are always going to change. There's going to be more storylines every single day, and you know, I think you can easily fall into the trap of, even though you're editing it, even though you're keeping it to 2 hours, right? It's still, you know, you still can get caught into never releasing something because you're just constantly adding more potential footage. I'm hoping that, I mean, I want to see the stuff. I mean, the trailers I always see and the clips I always see are always awesome and wonderful. And, you know, I don't know. For me, it's like, it's kind of just wrong in some sense that, like, you know, a lot of people bitch about, you know, donations going for one thing and not really in this regard. I know movies can take longer than, like, you know, a year, sure, or whatever to make, but still.
I mean, like, this is how it works. As long as they're upfront about it, like, then you gave your money to it, and that's it. If you didn't donate to any of the projects, then, like, don't complain about any of it. Like, I didn't donate to any of them. I'm not going to complain about any of them because I didn't give them my money. Like, they don't owe me shit. Like, so, like, there's a lot of people that complain about it that didn't even, like, donate money to it. Like, if you didn't give money to it, like, why do you care? If you did give money to it and you're pissed off, like, hopefully that you saw, like, what you donated to, or they kept you updated. Like I said, if you donate to the Star Nation project, I don't think you can necessarily be upset about them because they give a lot of updates on their Kickstarter. And they've even released a lot of other content outside of the Star Nation thing. You know, like you said, like their trailers and their little clips of, you know, whatnot. I think they could actually release a lot more. Justin is really picky about what gets out. He comes off to me as somebody who, like, really wants to have, like, a finished product before he shows anybody anything.
Yeah.
But they could probably dump a whole lot of the footage that they have onto the internet, a lot of people would find a lot of it really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, see, that's the thing. It's like a lot of these documentary makers, you know, again, like Sons of StarCraft and here, I'm showing you, again. And Justin, they feel like they have to have a single finished product. When, you know, in reality, it would be great. It would be great to have, like, a series instead of just this giant
movie. That's, like, personal opinion, though. I mean, he wants to do one single documentary, so, I mean, like, that's... Yeah.
Oh, okay, true.
I don't know about Sons of StarCraft. I haven't heard shit about that.
Oh, come on. You don't know Sons... You know Sons of StarCraft, right? The one that's about...
Yeah, I know. It's supposed to be, like, the Tastosis thing, but... Yeah, are they in, like, the final editing of the final editing of the final draft of the final editing or something like that?
I mean, that's what they... Yeah, that's what... I mean, I think I'm looking at this Reddit post, and that's... We have been tackling the edit during non-work hours. We're still hoping to finish... Oh, that's Star Nation. Last day of filming was April 3rd. Things are coming along well. Okay, well...
April
if the last
year,
day of filming is that... If that stays, you know, if that date stays as being the last day, then you know, maybe the light at the end of the tunnel is coming up soon. But
April of this year or last year?
April of this year. So, production probably takes a few months at the very least, right? So hopefully we'll see it by the end of the year. But, you know, those two in particular look super, super high quality, so I can't wait to see it. There's another one here. It says Good Game. It's Evil Geniuses. I didn't even know. Oh, Mary's doing this one. Okay, I didn't know they had one going, too. Same deal. 2011, man. It's just like, yeah, EG, look at this good game thing that's on the
stream. They shouldn't be having a Kickstarter. That's, never mind, I'm not even gonna, never mind. That's pretty, that comes off as really sleazy to do a Kickstarter for your own personal marketing team.
Well, it's not them, this isn't part of EG. This is just a documentary on EG. Yeah, they're not affiliated with EG. Mary's not affiliated with EG.
What's her last name? Mary who?
Mary Ratliff.
Okay, never mind.
She's good. But yeah, so anyways, in the rest of this thread, there's a lot of... this is a grubby one. The grubby one was kind of a documentary piece, too. But these aren't movies. These are definitely little... more like just videos, you know, that behind-the-scenes type of videos, like Liquid Rising and stuff like that. Liquid Rising, you know. But yeah, the only reason I bring this up, guys, is because I really want to see them. I know you guys want to see these documentaries too, and you know, just from the pieces that we saw. And I just want to, you know, implore them to get it out sooner, guys, than later. But all right, that's enough for that. Let's move on to our favorite subject, our weekly subject, which is WCSNA. And for those of you that didn't have the pleasure of experiencing or keeping up with the WCSNA drama that happened over the weekend. A quick summary of it was basically MLG or no Maya, like Akira Maya. He was scheduled to play, and all the players got an email that had the times on it. And for some reason he asked an admin, you know, I guess to confirm a time or something, and the admin told him the wrong time. It was like a time that was 4 hours later. So, needless to say, all the other players showed up on time, they all played, and Moosegill, who was supposed to play Maya, just basically waited for like 2 hours or 2.5 hours, and they finally just gave Maya a forfeit. And so Moosegill went on to play to Muslim in the next round, or start their series in the next with the Muslim. And about halfway through it, the admins come in and basically tell the two players that, hey, you know, Maya's has shown up at that time that he was told, and apparently, TB or Jenna had sent the MLG head admins or whoever was in charge of it screenshots of basically Maya getting the wrong time from the admin. And so, anyways, they decided to reinstate Maya into the winner's bracket and just stop everything that the Muslim and Muska were doing, and then even, you know, undo the forfeit and then basically have, you know, Muska play again. Uh-oh, kind of lost Steven there. Oh, you there?
Dude, I'm always here.
Dude, I lost you for some reason. Anyways, continuing on, they, once they got, you know, they basically let the players know they were going to do this, then the Muslim and Muska got pretty upset about it, and, a lot of deliberation there, and then finally Jenna Bain came in and said that, hey, I recommend Maya should be in the loser's bracket, and that way we don't screw up the integrity, I guess, of what's, you know, just the brackets right now, since the other two had started and you guys had given the forfeit. And, she kind of took an altruistic approach to it, right? And and MLG, after about an hour and a half of deliberating after that, decided, okay, let's do that. So they just put Maya in the loser's bracket, and they just went on after that. So, obviously all this was happening, and Sasquatch was basically tweeting updates of the whole thing as it was going, because Sasquatch was waiting to play the loser of Moosegill and Maya that round, right? He had to play the loser of that, so he had to wait around for hours too before they could figure it out. But anyways, that's what happened. What do you think, man, about the whole situation?
Fuck, dude. It's really rough. One thing that is really annoying is I wish the players had like more incentive or more agency. I understand that teams exist and they have like this infrastructure set up with coaches and player managers and whatnot. And I don't want to sound like a dick because I don't know everybody's personal situations, but like if you have to play in a really fucking important tournament, like you need to be on the fucking ball. Like, in the teams that I've been on, if I have an important show match or some kind of tournament coming up, even when I had, like, my own little mini-manager guy, like, if there was an important thing coming up, I wouldn't just, like, whatever. Like, oh, like, I think I have to play this at, like, 9? Well, I'm gonna disappear until the minute before and then fuck the world and I hope nothing gets changed or whatever. I don't understand that. I don't understand that at all. It seems really... I don't know. I don't want to blame the guy that got told the wrong time. Obviously, like, I mean, that sucks. But Jenna, if you read Jenna's post on Team Liquid, like, she said that she was scrambling to contact him like beforehand, but he didn't show up until like the minute he had to play his match.
Mm.
So, like, I mean, it kind of sucks for him. If I was MLG in this situation, I would have probably just said, like, tough shit, like, that sucks. We'll issue a formal apology, but that's all we can do. Because the only other alternatives to that are fucking over other players in the tournament. And it's not fair that everybody else that showed up at the correct time gets fucked over because somebody didn't for whatever reason, you know?
Yeah, I mean, what was funny is that I agree with you. I think that's what MLG should have just stuck to their decision and gone with it. But what's funny is that they changed their decision, and then they changed it back after a team owner or a manager came and basically recommended, you know, basically that they overturned it and have the original decision again. So that, yeah, that's, to me, that's kind of embarrassing. And, you know,
people in your chat are saying he was sleeping. The time that was quoted in the thing that I read, they told him 4 o'clock KST.
I forget exactly what the time was. I mean, the time was obviously in the afternoon here. So yeah, it was in the morning. Like, it was, you know, late in the early morning. Oh, so okay, that's what, like, happened. Okay, he was. Oh, is that the deal? Okay, so he was just told the wrong date, or he just assumed that. Yeah, because
so the plan was to wake up like at 3:55 and then play.
That can't.
I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, I mean,
it's an NA tournament, so, like, it sounds like it's a probable time that it was 4 a.m. KST, but...
Yeah. I mean, it probably was that early, but, I mean, regardless of the fact, right? I mean, there was
definitely... It would work out a lot nicer if it was only NA people playing in the... Huh? Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Nice. No, I mean, there was obviously some types... You know, the players and the teams are responsible for, obviously, their players being completely aware of all the information, right? But... I mean, I wasn't under the impression the admin told him the wrong time. I mean, even if it was 4 a.m., they could have. Did he tell him the right date? I think there was something wrong in that. You know, in what the admin told, because the admin was fired after the whole thing. So he
was
obviously,
he?
Yeah, they let him go. I mean, they said they terminated him, right? So
MLG Adam?
No, not Adam. The admin that was.
Yeah, but I thought Adam was the one when I read Jenna's thing from Intricacy. Is there a Team Liquid name, right? I thought Adam was the one that gave the time.
Was it Adam? I don't think it was Adam. It was admin.
Hold on.
It's an admin.
Oh, God, well, never mind. I read it as Adam.
You're a read,
right,
man.
Right.
You
I thought
read.
It just says admin. Okay, never mind.
Adam. Yo, okay, that's one. See, Adam should have been there, probably, you know, to look over oversee all this stuff, given that, you know, that's something we'll talk about in a second. But, yeah, so it was an admin, and the admin told him misinformation. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been terminated, or also be hell breaking loose right now, right?
Sure.
Something was wrong in that way. But the thing is that, you know, the teams and the players should obviously be completely clear as to what the time is, given just the original email, you know, that's sent to everybody.
Sure.
But also the MLG admin should always, like, if you're a player and you go talk to an admin, it should always be like the accurate information, right? I mean,
yeah, definitely.
I
agree. And nobody disagrees with that.
Yeah.
So whether it's disciplinary action or firing the official involved, you know, and then trying to figure out some way to compensate the player, like, though those are obvious things that nobody disagrees with, but I don't know if most people agree or disagree with that, but, like, honestly, I feel very strongly that you can't punish other players in the tournament as a result of your fuck-up. Like, it's not fair to... If I was D-Muslim, would I threaten to rage quit the tournament? I mean, I don't know, but I wouldn't... I'm not going to fault D-Muslim for saying that. Like, fuck, like, they both waited hours. The guy didn't show up. They showed up on time. They were already punished for it because they had to wait a fuckload of time before they could play the game. And then to say that they're going to have to, like, rearrange the bracket and shit because, like, fuck that shit. Like, if I was D-Muslim, I would piece the fuck up out of there. Like, that's a joke tournament. Like, I would never play something like that. Like, fuck that. Better piece of my time. You can go stream.
I mean, Ben was obviously pissed off, and, you know, looking back on it, he probably should have had somebody from EG come and, you know, speak for him, just because, just, you know, players not being involved in these type of decisions is probably the best thing,
sure.
But especially when you're on a big team, right? But whatever, I don't fault him for being pissed off and that sort of thing, too, but my whole thing with MLG is that, you know, we've had so many... You know, we've had, two pretty embarrassing things happen now, you know, in regards to MLG, and this, just MLG just getting a lot of flack and shit for this kind of thing. And it's like, you would think that this next, the very following event, that they would have all hands on deck. You know, like, make sure this shit goes well. You know, that, and Adam's there. You know, everybody's just, like, make sure everybody knows their shit for this one and that we don't fuck anything up. But obviously they didn't. I mean, an admin set telling the wrong time is pretty fucking bad, yeah. Right? I mean, that's just...
I think this is, like, a separate thing, but, like, I feel like it would be really cool. MLG should just hire, like, one figurehead from the community to act as, like, their PR slash, you know, final consultation for all of these issues. I feel like it would help them, like, tremendously. I'm pretty sure there are a lot of people in the community, like, that would do it for free. Like, pick, like, somebody like me or Kat or Mr. Bitter or Grubby.
To do what?
To be, like, the final say, or to be, like, a bridge. There needs to be a bridge between MLG and the community. There needs to be somebody that can come onto Reddit or 4chan, or Team Liquid, or somebody that can just, like, give a statement to explain, like, because even if things went the exact same way that they did now, as long as there's, like, a face that we all know and are familiar with, like, giving an explanation or rationale behind it, I think people would be more receptive towards it. Or maybe, if it's going to be a really fucking disaster statement, then the guy that's elected to be that bridge, maybe he could have a little bit more say into it on the MLG side, you know?
Yeah, but that has nothing to do with MLG just fucking up admitting this. You know, like in, you know, just...
Like, if, let's say, for example, that... I'll use myself as an example because I don't want to speak for other people. But let's say, for example, like, MLG were to approach me and they were to go, like, hey, like, we want you to function as, like, our bridge slash PR head, you know, just to help us through some of these decisions, because we know that you're familiar with the community, we know that you're familiar with how the community will react to things, and we know that you're not completely and totally autismal when it comes to PR things, like we obviously are, because we've shown ourselves to have high forms of autism over and over again in all of our public affairs. So, and I would go, you know, that's really great. Like, I need the service hours for high school or whatever, and I would love to volunteer my time to help you. I wouldn't even charge money for it, because anybody in the community would love that position. So I wouldn't even charge money for it. So a big issue could come up, and MLG could go, like, you know, there is some really fucked up shit, and we're going to have to make a really rough decision. And the community is probably going to be hella mad, especially after what happened last time. Well, let's talk to, like, our bridge guy, you know, like, hey, Destiny or Cats. Like, your reputation is kind of on the line. Like, what do you think? Even if they don't, like, go with what I say, like, what do you think about this decision, you know? And, like, I would say, like, in those regards, I would say, like, hey, like, if you just give this guy, if you inject this guy back into the tournament, a lot of people are going to be hella fucking mad. Because, one, all those Chinese people, remember those guys from that country that's, like, the largest one on Earth? Like, you fucked all of them in the last tournament. Nobody gave a fuck. And now when it happens to an Axiom player, and now you're going to fuck over, like, an EG player and another guy because they missed their game, like I feel,
yep,
like if they have,
no,
like,
I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah. Like, I feel like, or at the very least, if they were to, like, you know, like, I don't know what we could do, like, Total Biscuit is sucking off Sundance behind the table. We don't want anybody to know about it, but that's what's going on, and Sundance would be...
No, it has nothing to do with that.
Would, I mean, be very upset. No, I know, but I'm just saying, like, even if worst case scenario, you know, like, Total Biscuit is paying off Sundance to keep his players in the tournament, we need you to make this good. Like, at the very least, like, a community figurehead that you like or trust or know about or has a more leeway or leverage in the community could come online and say, like, hey, guys, this is a really shitty thing to do, and it's a really rough... thing to do, and it's hard to put him back into the...
Gosh, this internet's not great. I think we lost him, guys. Let's see what's going on. Let me switch to full screen for now. There he is.
Fuck you.
Dude, what the fuck, man?
Sorry, I feel like if things were to play exactly the same way, as long as there was, like, some kind of PR bridge or some kind of community head, I feel like it would be more well received from the community. MLG would have a better reputation for it. It wouldn't cost them any money. Maybe that person as a consult or their little PR bridge could serve as some kind of like voice of reason in decisions like
it's
this.
It's just an advisor. It's like a community advisor.
They need somebody to fill that position because they've proven, and I'm not hating on MLG or whatever, but they've proven time and time again that they can't handle the PR. Like, I don't understand why or what the deal is, but they just can't do it. They can't manage their PR on their own. They need somebody else to help them with it.
I mean, it has a lot to do with experience, too. And, you know, they haven't run online tournaments before, so they've never been in
exactly.
these situations.
But they could, like I said, they could outsource it. They could outsource it for free. Like, just grab somebody like Cads, grab somebody like me, grab somebody like Mr. Bitter, somebody that's had a lot of experience in dealing with it. Like, we've all played online tournaments before. We've all part of the community. We know how the community is going to react to certain things. Like, just ask us, you know?
Shit, or you can even ask John, like, you know, John Clark, who's run a ton of online in the past. So, yeah, I mean, I agree that, you know, they could have some advisors that just help them out in these kind of crazy situations. But honestly, like, you know, I think that's a separate thing than what I was talking about, which is, like, they should have just made sure that everybody was on point, you know, for this. And, you know, double check, triple check, you know, that everything's going to go right for this event. Because, you know, it's like when you just fucked up, you don't want to fuck up again. Right, and that's what I would think, that there would be some urgency to it, but, you know, there's still mistakes happening, and you know, I just like to see them stop. But getting to the positive side of WCS NA, at least Suppy last night 4-0'd this group, which had two Axiom, was it two Axiom players? I think it had Ryung and Hart in it, so you know, that was pretty big. I can't say I wasn't hopeful that he would make it through the groups, but I definitely didn't see him 4-0-ing his group. I mean, he played really great games, I mean, against in both of those. So, yeah, so that was really, really cool to see. I know a lot of other folks were going crazy watching the games, too. So big props out to Suppy, man. We need more Americans in this thing, man. but at least two Chinese players got in, too, man. After those guys getting screwed previously, so that's kind of good to see too. Any other thoughts on WCSNA?
Hopefully, no more fuck ups.
No more fuck ups. All right, cool. Hey, I got one for you. I got one for you in regards to. Well, we're gonna kind of go into Q&A in a second, but before we do, what do you think about the whole thing about? Code S not being, you know, like this whole talk about Code S and Code A or whatever should only be reserved for the GSL. Oh my god, there's some kind of connection issue. Did you hear me? Or
yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. But yeah, what do you think about that? What do you think about that whole talk about, you know, basically the GSL folks or whatever? I think we're saying, was it GSL? It was. Maybe, no, because this is how it started. Kaldor basically tweeted that, you know, that Code S and Code A should be reserved, I think, for GSL. You know, and so because people were talking about, like, comparing the qualifiers and challengers and all that stuff, the Challenger League and the Premier League to being Code A and Code S, they'd be like NA's Code A or NA's Code S type of thing, and you know, they were basically saying that those terms should be reserved for you know, GSL. And honestly, GSL, I think they're still using those terms for their tournament, and not so much, you know, WCS, you know, Korea, and that sort of thing. What do you think about that?
I don't know. It kind of sounds like an e-penis, like, battle, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, when I hear that, it sounds like the American people that are Christians that are like, you guys can get gay marriage, but you're not allowed to call it marriage, because if you call it marriage, then it'll fuck up our real marriage, you know. Oh, so like, God. GSL people are like, well, you can't call NA GSL Code A because this is the real Code A, so suck my dick, you know.
Yeah got it. I don't even know what to think about. For me, it's just that if Blizzard's paying all this money for WCS, then shouldn't it be called WCS? Everything should be called WCS in my opinion. But MLG's not calling MLG, like, something else. Or, you know, WCSNA something else, so...
I don't know. All right, man, let's get this... It's falling down. Where's that song? Play that song, The Cracks Begin to Show.
Oh, shit. What song is that? The Cracks Begin to Show.
It seems like my letter far away. I don't know how it goes.
Oh my god.
And then she's like, the cracks begin to show.
What? I don't even know that. What song is he talking about, man? I don't even know.
It's the cracks begin to show. That's the song, dude.
Okay, here we go. Let me see the shit. I got some. There goes monetization. Can't wait through this. Oh, this song.
Yeah.
Alright. I know the song. Yeah.
Go away.
Yeah, that's a good song. Alright. Got it. oh, before we start Q&A too, I hadn't gone to your blog in a while. And we didn't talk about your blog last week at all. And then, I go and I'm like, oh, what's this last blog, And I'm like, I click on it, and then I'm like, what the fuck is this? What the hell is this? And I see pictures. Shit, I see the before pictures, and I'm like,
that's my flubs,
what
dude. My fucking website got hacked. Holy shit.
Yeah, right. It got hacked.
These are only for Aaron's eyes. Way to go, dude.
My sexy, smooth, and lilth body. Oh, wait, I'm a man. Oh, man. Okay. For those of you who don't know what this is his before pictures. Like, before Hopefully. Going into his workout. So, anyways. I thought I figured I'd mention that.
Well, thanks for blasting me there, man.
All right, let's get to some questions. All right, what is that? Muis Jalif has... Oh, man, he has a bunch of questions. All right, let's start with, why isn't Blizzard using... Jeez, SC2 AI tournaments? What the fuck? Would having AI... An AI that's stronger than the best player? No, whatever. That's not good. I don't think that's a good question here. Okay, Day9 is doing a lot of projects meant to make SE2 more respectable to the general public, but he lost some of his street cred compared to that, say, Artosis. Is the community being unfair in this?
What the fuck? What is Day9 doing to make StarCraft 2 more respectable to the general public?
I mean, I think he's talking about projects like After
like
Hours Gaming League.
Yeah.
After Hours Gaming League, and I know what he kind of means, but I don't know if he's losing street cred as much as he's just not. I mean, he's just not at as many events anymore, and his dailies every day, but we're not seeing him at the big events. We saw him at MLG. Yeah, we see him at Iron Squid, but we don't see him at WCS, and things like that. So, I mean, I just think that Artosis is just everywhere right now, and that's why you probably kind of feel like this, but I don't know. I mean, Sean's doing plenty of stuff.
I don't think Artosis and Day9 are very comparable, in my opinion.
Yeah, they're kind of different. I mean,
Artosis is like, when you see Artosis, like, it doesn't matter whether you hate him or like him or agree with him or disagree with him, but you know that he does everything he does because he absolutely fucking loves StarCraft 2. I don't think anybody should ever doubt that about Artosis ever. With Day9, obviously the money side has become a lot more.
The money side has become a big part of Artosis too. Come on, I mean.
Oh yeah, no. I'm not saying that it's like oh, he sold out or anything. I'm just saying that like for Day9, like he's gone. Like the building of his brand and the structuring of how he does everything revolves around like his big deal with Red Bull and I'm sure he earns a pretty penny for his After Hours Gaming League and all that stuff. But, like, Artosis is just, like, fucking casting, and, like, he's into StarCraft 2, and it's his fucking life. Like, that's what Artosis is, With Day9, I'm not saying looking at it's a fair analysis or whatnot, but I could see how people could say, like, oh, well, Day9, he's just doing tournaments, or he's just doing, his own shit now because he sold out and he just wants money for himself and he doesn't really give a fuck anymore, I'm not saying it's fair enough, I'm just saying, I could see how people would say it.
Well, I don't think that at all, actually. And, it's not because I'm a Day9 fanboy or anything like that. It's just, he has a brand. I mean, there's no doubt. He's the first guy to kind of, really push, create a very, very strong brand, right, in our industry and kind of go with it, right? You're seeing the same thing, guys, from Artosis and Tasteless, but more so Artosis. I mean, Artosis splitting off State of the Game and making meta with Tumba, just the EMG, EMG and everything. I mean, EMG is doing a lot of stuff with Artosis, and it's not just managing them. I mean, they're, the TTE stuff, and there's a lot of things that are going on where it's more about making money and making decisions like that. Nothing wrong with it. I mean, I don't blame them for doing it, but if you're gonna if you're going to vilify Day 9 for doing stuff like that, then, I mean, Artosis is doing a lot of the same things now, too. I mean, let's be honest here. And everybody's, you know, everybody wants to try and make a living, you know, doing this. And, you know, there's opportunity for a lot of the casters that are super popular to do even more. So that's what they're doing. And nothing wrong with that. But I think, you know, getting back to the original question, I don't think there's any, you know, I don't think the public thinks any differently of Day 9. It's just they're not just, they just don't see him as much. So they're just not talking as much about him every day as they used to. What is the opinion on a new weird... I'm not sure about that. Let's get to a more generic... I'll come back to this. He's got like about 20 questions here, so I'll get back to him in a second. Right, we talked about Tribunal, no kind of alternative. Let's see. Okay, this guy has a long post. Huxtable. I think he's basically asking, given that LCS gets so many viewers right now, just to sum it up, at what point do you think we'll start seeing like big name sponsors being affiliated with WCS? You know, whether it's in the form of like a replay brought to you by Canon, you know, or a Players Lounge, you know, Adidas Players Lounge, and you know, crap like that. When do you think we'll start seeing that with WCS? Given that they already have the viewership, so
I don't know. I wish I could have a good answer to that, but it's not my area of expertise.
Yeah.
It seems like that would be a good question for somebody like Sundance or somebody in charge of major tournaments. It seems to me like it would just be a matter of if your content delivery system is good, like if you're like reliably delivering a stream that doesn't suck shit or have trouble like in your actual tournament, if you can do that and you can pull in the viewers, then it seems like it's just a matter of putting together like a sponsorship portfolio and approaching somebody like Coca-Cola or something and saying like, hey, like,
I give me money. Honestly, I think it's just going to take a period of time before you get to that point where those big sponsors will say, oh, okay, you know, you've done it for this amount of time, what's a year or whatever, and okay, you know, we believe those numbers, you know, type of thing. So I think WCS will start seeing some big sponsors here by the end of the year. I actually believe that. The numbers are so good. It doesn't matter what you are. You know, if you can get numbers like that, like any sponsor should be listening.
Sure.
Let's see. Oh god, some of these are pretty funny. StarCraft documentary, State of Play. Yeah, State of Play. That's why all this documentary talk's been happening, because of that Jadong documentary. There's not so many questions. Where are all the questions, guys? There's like a bunch of comments about what we're talking about, but I might have to go back to that one guy.
People want their voice to be heard, man.
What?
People want their voice to be heard, man.
I guess so. Let me sort by new. Jeez. I need to have somebody like vet through these for me while I'm doing this. Let's see. Okay, what's your favorite Game of Thrones character and why?
I like the one that has sex with the biggest boobs because I haven't ever watched it. And that's all.
You've
I
never know. Watched Game of Thrones? Really? You don't like
man.
That?
Dude, I hate everything. I'm like the edgiest person in existence. Like, all these things that people say are good, like, I just fucking hate them all, dude.
You've like, actually watched Game of Thrones and hate it?
No, but...
Just
like, I'm
watch
watching
it.
Breaking
it's
Bad
a...
now. I'm like halfway through season 4 of Breaking Bad, and it's like the most like 6 out of 10 show I've ever watched in my life, and people were like hailing this as like the godsend. Like if Jesus was like a producer, and...
I still haven't read it. Yeah, I still haven't watched Breaking Bad yet. I've been meaning to, but yeah, everybody's like has nothing but good things to say about it. So you don't like Breaking Bad?
It's okay.
Okay. You should watch Game of Thrones, though. I think you'd like Game of Thrones.
Okay.
My favorite character, jeez, it's probably Tyrion. Everybody knows who I'm talking about, Tyrion.
Oh yeah. Is he the guy that has incest sex?
No. He's the dwarf.
I thought that was all of them.
Incest? No. That's his sister and brother.
Oh.
Okay, let's see. All right, let's ask him one of these questions. Where is it? Man, it might be a short show today, man. We don't have many questions. Does Destiny use an amplifier for his headset?
No, I have a sound card thing on this motherboard, though. But no, I've never used an amplifier for it.
Yeah.
The impedance is pretty low. I want to say it's 60 ohms, so it's not like it needs one to sound okay.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see. Okay, so since Destiny has experience with both the Ministry and Windhouse and the Starsail Team House, what does he think of the Western Team House? What does he think a Western Team House needs to look like? Does it need to copy the Korean model? What is Destiny's opinion on the Pro Corner regime? Yeah, we were talking about that earlier, but...
Yeah, throw like 20 people in a house and make them fucking play games all day. It hasn't happened yet in the Western world. Let's see it happen and see what happens.
What do you mean? They've had... Like, the Quantic House had people... The Quantic House had players playing.
How many?
I don't know, like...
Like three and a half?
Seven? I don't know, six or seven, maybe?
And really, were they playing a lot? Those six, who are the six or seven people in the Quantic House? They really had that many there?
I think so. They had
Quantic had a house. I don't even remember.
Yeah, they had
shit.
It over the okay over the summer. That one summer, they had Illusion, Flow, Spanishiwa. I think State was even there, and
so Illusion, Spanishiwa, State,
and I think that was about the time they picked up Wonsin and Golden. So they were there too.
How long were they at the house for?
They were like at least the whole summer. They were like pushing for whatever MLG that was. Like at the end of the summer, they were there. They were playing. Yeah, they were playing. They were practicing at least six, seven hours every day, just playing games. Yeah, I don't know if they were practicing with each other, but they were playing games like constantly.
I mean, that's okay for like 3 months. Now do it for like a year, with a lot of people, like 15, 20 people, and then talk, and then we'll see like what happens. That's what I think.
So just playing games. That's all you're telling people to do. Just play ladder?
With other people there, too. Like, here's how the Korean house works, okay? Okay, I'm sitting in front of my computer, and I play fucking 10 hours of games a day, every day. That's what I do. My mechanics are really good, because I play 10 hours a day every day in a Korean house, you know? That's like a Korean, like, it just is. Okay, so I'm fucking playing. Ah, I fucking lost your Protoss. Fuck, this is so lame. Hey, you. Oh, you're busy? Oh, you're busy? Oh, you. Hey, there are three really fucking good Protoss players here, because there's, like, 20 players here, and it's awesome. So, hey, you're a Protoss dude. Can we, like, talk and fucking play a game? Oh, cool, like, let's grind some customs, blah, 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 blah. Oh, hey, and, like, while they're playing, one of the other Protoss guys are watching, like, oh, you can also do that. And you're also happen to be sitting next to another Zerg guy, and he's like, dude, like, when I see that kind of shit, like, I always get, like, you know, an extra queen, or I always get, like, an overseer, because right,
so,
you know he's going to DT.
So Steven, like, what's the difference between that and just Skyping a bunch of people?
It's a different environment when you live there. What's the difference between giving your mom a hug and telling her you love her over the phone, man? You know what I mean?
Well, I believe it's efficient. I believe it's more efficient for sure to be there. Mm-hmm. But it's, you know, there's a percentage of that can be achieved just by doing that on Skype.
You could do it. You could do everything via the internet. You could definitely do everything via the internet. You could also learn any topic you wanted to in the world without ever having to go to school, ever. You could buy the books and you could learn all of it yourself. That being said, going to school is a lot easier for a lot of different reasons, and being there physically with other people is easier for a lot of different reasons. You could do it all over the internet, but when you're there, like, you're there, like, you have to fucking do it. If you're watching a guy next to you grind out a practice session against another Protoss player, you can't not ever see it. It's not possible. Like, you'll watch him, you'll be interested, because he's the guy standing next to you. Hopefully you like him a little bit, you see him grinding games against another Protoss, you see that he's a Zerg and he's having trouble with it, you see him asking questions about it, why not give him a little bit of advice? In an online community, you would have to be, like, super tuned into your teammates. Like, I'm gonna bring up Chad's stream and watch him in between games. He's, oh, like, you would have to be, like, all over your teammates to see that kind of shit going on. When you're all in the same house and you're all doing that shit all the fucking time, and you all have to go and eat meals together, and then you all sleep and you wake up at the same time and shit, like, that kind of interaction doesn't exist in any Western team houses, in my opinion. I
agree with you, but I'll be honest, Steven, I fucking hate it when people talk about you either have to have this, what they have in Korea, or just nothing, or just fuck. You just have to wait for that. I mean, we have to do shit, like, between there and here, right? And right now, like let's start talking about that issue right now. For me, the biggest issue is that the players just don't have even a big enough network right now that's like the daily network, as, like, the Korean teams have in their house, which is kind of sad, actually.
It would be like, to use a music example, it would be like, theoretically, you could put together jazz arrangements with trios or combos or even big bands. You could put together arrangements and you could have people play them to each other, and you could send the sheet music, you could send it to each other digitally via email, everybody could play it, listen to it, and it would be really cool. And you could do that, But doing that digitally wouldn't be the same as all of you meeting Absolutely. Together and rehearsing every day. And the kind of music that you could get by all just being there, fucking living it, you all eat lunch together, if you have an idea, you can bounce it. Like, that kind of environment, it's really hard to get that only digitally. You could get something close to it. You might even be able to get it completely if everybody was dedicated enough. But when you're all actually there, thrown into the same house, like, that level of connection... It's so hard to get anything near that online. It's really hard.
I completely agree, okay? Like, you know, I know because, you know, I just work-wise, I work from home. So I work remotely from my team. You know, my team's somewhere else. And I know, you know, from working in offices versus, you know, working at home that you're a lot more efficient being there. And I totally get that. But you're still a level, there's still like a 60-70% level of efficiency that you could accomplish just being online. And the problem is right now it's nothing right now. Like, we don't even have that level of efficiency at all. So for me, I'd rather try to get to that step first. And then, you know, before, because waiting around and trying like to wait around for these houses to, I mean, for A, get a house, you know, like these teams to have houses. And
well,
B,
I mean, to
have,
be honest,
for the houses to be, go
to
ahead.
Be honest, and this might sound kind of rude, but like, there's already, the opportunity has already existed for any teams to do this. Like, people have made team houses, like, the EG Lair exists. Yeah. Like, that house is way too big and way too fucking expensive. Like, they could have just as easily got a house for half the price and thrown in twice as many players and done that. But NA teams have made the conscious decision to not go that route because instead they would rather pay a lot of money to grab a player while they're good and then never invest in any of their training or I don't want to say future-proofing, but making sure that the player stays in shape.
That's not true. I mean, like, you're right. There have been houses.
It sounds mean, but, like, and I'm not trying to dick ride or anything, but Idra was really fucking good at the end of Brood War, and he's been on EG all this time, and, like, what the fuck? Like, he sucks shit in StarCraft 2. Like, he's pretty good, but compared to what he was in Brood War, like, Idra was, like, the best fucking foreigner in all of StarCraft
2. Well, you have to remember, Idra going into the beta was in Korea for years. Right? I mean,
I guess, I don't know.
That
maybe
has more to do with
better.
It, dude. Then.
But I mean, like, it's not, you can't just be in Korea, too. Like, you've got to be friends with everybody at the house. You've got to be able to get that. Like, I remember Naniwa told me, when I went to the StarTail house, like, Naniwa told me that you could go to a Korean house and you could spend a lot of time there and do nothing and just grind ladder. Like, because Koreans won't, if you're having trouble in a matchup, a Korean isn't going to just walk up to you and go, like, hey, you need to, like, work on this or practice this. Like, a Korean will never do that. You have to go to them and ask to practice, and that's how it worked for me when I was in StarTail. But I did it. Like, I'm not a shy fag or a beta. Like, I'll do it. Like, I'll walk up and be like, hey, like, and I played a lot of games with StarTail Dragon, I think was his name, or Tiger. I think it was Tiger, a Protoss player who was really fucking good. And then a few games with Ace. Like if you do it and you ask for it, that's fine. But just being in Korea, you can't just go to Korea and like magically fucking you're good you were in Korea. For, like, you have to be in that environment, playing games, bouncing off ideas, and playing a lot of in-house games with a lot of people that are good, that want to see you improve. Like, that's all part of it. It's not just being over there.
Yeah, yeah. Just being... I mean, yeah, I agree with that, too. And we have had houses here. I mean, we've had... The Complexity House is a good example, all right? Complexity, I wouldn't say, is one of those teams that just snipes good players. Like, I know the two Jasons, and I know that's not how, you know... That's not really their philosophy. Yet, they had a house
like,
there.
I've seen Jason stuff, and I know he did really cool shit in Counter-Strike, but like what, like who all was in the Complexity house? Like, they have the Complexity Academy, but that's not actually a house, is it?
Yeah, but they had a house in Houston. I mean, they lived, I mean, the house was literally in my parents' neighborhood, so
yeah. But
I mean,
it was
QXC, it was Sasquatch, it was Rise, TriMaster, I feel like I'm forgetting it. Oh God, who was it? There was another person too, and then Scott, you know, their manager, was there too, I think. So it was like five or six of them. And you know, was Gonzi there for a little? Gonzi might have been there from time to time. Like when, like, I know Gonzi went to Lone Star Clash, so he was probably there for a little while too. Yeah, so they were there. I mean, Minigun, Chad never went to the house, I don't think. So yeah, they had the house there. I mean, it wasn't, you know, the house was available. It was just, it's just how they run. Like, it's not even how they run the house. It's just having a regimen in general, right? And that's kind of what I'm doing with Pro Corner, just trying to come up with a regimen for individuals. But, you know, teams can adopt it too, obviously. But that's the biggest deal. Like, there's just no regimen at all. You know, just playing and just collaborating and stuff isn't enough too. Like, I know you mentioned that. That is a step better than just not talking to anybody. But, you know, that's still not enough too. Like, it has to be even more focused than that, right? To really be efficient.
Sure. Yeah, I agree.
Know. I mean, I need to have you on Pro Corner sometime too, because Robert's like messaging me right now, so I'm sure he's like listening right now to our discussion. But anyways, yeah, that's that question. Let's see what else here. Okay, we're gonna really get to this favorite type of tea. What was your impression of the HOTS campaign?
I thought it was really cool. I had a lot of fun. It was really short, but
yeah, I thought it was good. I wasn't a fan of the end, honestly, but
I was just talking gameplay. The story is absolute fucking shit too.
Yeah. I mean, it was okay. It was okay like midway through, and then when it started going towards the end,
the ending was so anticlimactic.
Like,
everything about like the Zerg past, and they like did some really fucking weird, stupid shit, and then it's like a love story. I'm like, I don't know.
I don't mind.
I feel like I might have to go back through StarCraft. Like, I used to be a really big lore fag on things that I liked. Like, I actually read like all three of the Halo books, and mm-hmm. I read like all of the StarCraft backstory, like the whole book that came with the StarCraft game.
Yep.
I read all of the backstory. But I feel like I would have to go back and review it, but I feel like everything changed in Heart of the Swarm. Like, this whole idea of like the primal Zerg and shit seems like really not StarCraft. Like, I don't know at all.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. It's more, it's not
like I remember from like StarCraft, I thought like the Zerg were just like little creatures that were really good at absorbing like other things, but that was it. But then like the Zelnaga showed up and like made him fucking awesome. They gave him the Overmind to like control their shit and get their shit in gear.
Yep.
But like playing Heart of the Swarm, it makes it seem like the Primal Zerg was like the shit, and they were just as good as and like that should have been possible at all. Like, what was the Zelnaga there for at all? You know, I don't know.
I mean, they made it sound like the Primal Zerg was there to begin with, right? Even before Zelnaga was, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, dude. I don't know. Meh.
Let's see. Why don't you like? Okay, so this Crazy Sid wants to know why you don't like Breaking Bad.
What? I just think it's, like, incredibly mediocre. I don't like any of the characters at all. There's no good characters in Breaking Bad.
Wow.
The Jesse guy is spoiled. He should have fucking...
All right, what show do you like? What show do you like?
I don't know, dude. I like animes, apparently. I'm, like, a weeaboo. Otaku? I'm one of those guys. I like Death Note, and I like Code Geass. Those were cool. Cowboy Bebop was cool. For TV shows, I really like the first three seasons of House. I thought were really cool. I really like Scrubs. Psych is cool.
I haven't seen Psych. What's that?
I don't know. It's a cute show. Even Bones is like okay. It has its moments.
Do you like Bones? Oh my god, really? That surprises me.
It has its moments. The guy, the main character, the main lead guy, is super cute. The hunky. You know what I'm talking about? Agent Booth. I don't know what the actor name is, but he's like super cute.
He's the Buffy guy, right?
Was he in Buffy? I don't know.
He was God, he's Buffy's love interest, right? David Boreanaz or whatever his name. I forget his name. Yeah, he was Angel.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Yeah,
if he was.
Let's see. Oh, while I'm looking, so I bought a piano this past week, and
oh yeah,
dude, I went into it thinking I was just gonna get, you know, just basically standard acoustic kind of upright.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm a purist when it comes to music, particularly pianos.
Yeah.
But then I ended up getting a digital piano, believe it or not, because those things are pretty awesome in the price. I mean, high end, I would always love a grand, you know, like a 9 foot grand beats the hell out of
anything.
Or
even a baby grand.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, a 5 foot grand, yeah, still beats the fuck out of everything. Okay.
Yeah.
But damn, these in the price point that I was at. These digital pianos, these Yamahas, are really good, dude.
Yeah.
I would heavily, heavily recommend them. I mean, they have wooden hammers, and I mean, the wooden hammers hit the sensors, so it has a pretty darn good feel too. So anyway, I'll throw that in there.
Definitely. I can't do the, I wouldn't say I'm a purist, but I like the idea of real sound as opposed to digital sound. But
I am too.
I
normally am too, dude, but
I can't do stand-up pianos. The bass is way too weak. It makes me want to kill myself. I can't listen to a stand-up piano. Unless it's like Ragtime or something.
Oh, you'd be surprised. That's the thing about these digital ones, is that they make up for that. You know,
I like the digital ones. Like I said, like if I was on that price range, mm-hmm. if I'm not buying at least a baby grand piano, I don't think I would buy an acoustic piano. It would have to be like a digital, like
yeah,
a keyboard.
It was like crazy. Like they were being next to each other, and I just, you know, I just run some scales or something like on one of them, and I'd run it on a digital one, and it's just like a giant sound.
Yeah.
I'm
really
just like, this is crazy. It's like the same price too, and it's ridiculous. So I ended up getting it, and now, you know, my kids are just playing Mary Had a Little Lamb on it. So I'm not sure I should have gotten it quite yet, but some school was having a sale, so I just had to go check out what they had there. Let's see. Now we all know is... Okay, I'm not going to read that one out.
What? Is that Destiny's
I'm not reading
camp?
That one. Yeah.
What is it? Okay.
I'm not reading that one. Okay, so we're only going to have like about two more questions, guys. Kind of not that many great ones today, but do you feel that the level of excitement towards the pro SC2 scene has dropped since the Blizzard's inception of WCS with all the controversy that surrounded it thus far?
I mean, I would say pretty obviously. They've fucked up a lot of things. Hopefully they can bring it back, but...
I don't think the excitement has changed at all. I mean, I think the excitement would be the same regardless of... controversy or not. I think it'll start picking up once things start becoming offline matches, not so much online matches. But
that's fucking... I'm sorry. Keep going. I just stupid people.
No, that's... I think that's it. I mean, once it gets offline and we start seeing, you know, just the more traditional type of tournament feel to the content, then it's going to start becoming more exciting and, you know, feeling like that. But I do have to say that it's cool having content on every night, but it's kind of like it was for me with LCS. It's just like, it's a bit too much. Like, I kind of lose... It loses a little bit of the... that fresh feeling that I get when I'm watching, like, a DreamHack or an MLG event. You know, just a tournament. A weekend
sure.
tournament versus just seeing it every day. I kind of had the same issue with NASL too. Like, I just couldn't watch every single match. I would just like try to catch some from here and there. And if I heard some matches were really great, I'd go watch the VODs type of thing.
Sure.
All right, refreshed it. Somebody told me to refresh. Hafu or Biebs?
What? No, next question.
If you don't like Breaking Bad, then why do you torture us by watching it for hours instead of streaming?
It's okay. I'm not saying that it's
okay. So
bad.
If you're watching a show that's okay, is it worth your time then?
I'm already 4.5 seasons in. I have to finish it. I can't not finish it now.
Well, I mean, what do you mean finish it? It just keeps going.
No,
right?
The season 5 is gonna be the last one.
I didn't know that. Okay, maybe I'll just wait till it's all done before I. Okay, I think that's going to be about it. Let's see. Yeah, I think that's going to be about it, guys. I don't think there's too much craziness going on. Actually, one last question. White Guy Cash. Chainman Destiny has experience with Tribunal of Punishments. Can you get him to link his reform card to judge for ourselves if he deserves the ban or not?
Oh, I have no idea. The Tribunal's really broke when it comes to famous people, in my opinion.
What do you mean?
It sounds really biased for me to say it. The problem that I have, like, so... Typically, if you... One of the problems with the Tribunal is a lot of the people like to spam punish, right? When you go to the Tribunal,
they'll
spam
saying,
punish.
Like, yeah, sure.
But typically, for most people, it doesn't matter, because most people don't get reported, because it's just... If you're getting reported that much, you're probably fucking up the game anyway. Well, when you're kind of a famous streamer, it depends on your personality a little, but, like, I know, like, me and V-Man... have an issue where there would be a lot of people that try to snipe you, and then as soon as they get into a game with you, they'll like talk shit the entire fucking time, and they'll try to goad you into saying something, and as soon as you do,
so
then they report you. Like, yeah,
I've
seen the report cards after, and I've had several games where that's happened, like fucking stupid shit, like some guy will feed and intentionally troll the entire game in top lane, and, like, I'll call him like a retarded downy faggot, and then he reports me at the end of the game after trolling the whole game, and it's like, okay, whatever, dude, you know, shit like that. The shit like that really sucks. If you're a famous person, then the Tribunal really sucks dick for you, but I mean, I just have to talk a lot less, I guess.
Yeah, so that sucks. So it's kind of like an entrapment type of thing, right?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty shitty then. Okay, that's going to be it, guys, for questions today. And it's probably going to be it for the show, too. So we should do shout-outs and thank yous. Any shout-outs you want to do, Steven? Everybody's calling for push-ups, dude. We're going to have a push-off. Push-up off one of these days. God, I'm about to practice.
Do it. At the end of my month, dude, when I post my update on how fucking ripped I am after one month of...
How many push-ups can you do? I need a gauge, man. I
changed my whole approach to fucking every... I don't even do push-ups now. I'm doing, like, totally different shit. It's like this whole progression system. There's a book. It's called Convict Conditioning. Okay?
Yeah, I
go
saw that. That's where I saw your picture, man.
There we go, man.
This is what he's talking about right here. Convict Conditioning.
I'm working that system. Here we go. Yeah, link that.
Isn't John doing this too, or no? Isn't somebody else doing this? This regimen? I forget. But so, what are you doing? Like you lift in what, cafeteria trays
basically,
or something?
The idea is there are six different six different body weight exercises that are supposed to work different muscle groups, and then you follow a progression until you get to like the ultimate form of each exercise. So the six exercises are: you have push ups, pull ups, squats, bridges, handstand push-ups, and leg raises. And like there's like an ultimate form to each exercise that you're supposed to work up to. So no weights at all? No, it's all body weight based.
Okay, right.
So like the ultimate thing for the push-up series is a one-handed push-up, a one-handed pull-up, right. Like the ability to bridge by standing up, leaning back, and then bringing yourself back up without like throwing your body, you know, like having good form inside them. And that's like the theory behind the book or whatever.
So why'd you choose that? I mean, did you just not want to join a gym?
I don't know if I could go out like every day to a gym. I don't know if I'd be motivated to literally get up every morning and go out to a gym. Like I might be able to do it, but I'm trying not to put obstacles between me and actually doing shit. And I don't know if I have the motivation to go out and fucking do that shit every day.
Got it. No, that's pretty interesting. Like, you know, not having any weight, just using your body weight and doing that. It is kind of inefficient, guys, to have to, you know, go and drive your gym and then come back. There's like a half an hour or so that,
yeah,
at
the
least
closest one is like 15 minutes to me.
Yeah.
So like
yeah.
The idea that I have to shower every single day and then fucking drive 15 minutes there and then do my shit and then drive 15 minutes back. And
yeah.
I'd need workout clothes or some shit. Whereas at home I just do my boxers or fucking naked if I'm feeling like it because fuck, it's my house, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Who goes to the gym every day? There's a lot of people actually go to the gym every day. I never went every day, but...
You're doing any decent workout, you're going at least 3 times a week.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. People go, like, early in the morning. I just can't do that. I can't kick off the day.
Oh, my God.
The
Can the virgins get out of my fucking chat? That's cool that you guys are still in high school. When you grow the fuck up, you don't shower every fucking day. Nope. You shower every single fucking day, Chanman?
Me? No, I actually don't, but I generally do.
I guess, like, if you were dirty as fuck, like, I stay on the computer all day. Why the fuck would I shower every day to, like, play with myself? Like, what the fuck?
No, I generally do, but, I mean, if you're going to get technical, no, I don't shower every day. Just because, honestly, sometimes I just forget. Like, I'm just so busy sometimes that my wife gives me shit about it sometimes. She's just like,
oh, sure.
I mean, that's not like I stink. I don't stink. I mean, I guess if you're really big, if
you're really fat and you sweat a lot or something, then...
Yeah. I guess. Why the fuck are we talking about this anyways? Shit, man. but anyways, yeah, so anyways, one of these days we will do a push-up contest.
All right, let's do it.
But anyways, shout-outs. Anybody?
I want to give a shout-out to Paul Wade, the author of Convict Condition. No, I'm just kidding. Shout-out to Phoenix Collections for making their cool shit.
Yeah.
And this awesome mouse.
Cool.
And this mouse pad. And they have a keyboard that should be coming out soon, so that's cool. yeah.
My shout-out. Shout-out to you for doing these with me every day. And I think... I mean, that's about it.
Why is body weight less effective than free weights? Where is Sani Dao? Why do you say that?
Well, I mean, eventually it is, right? Not when you're first starting.
Eventually, but I can't fucking do a one-handed push-up, like...
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely true.
Fuck.
Have you ever seen that American Ninja show? It's like a... a reality kind of contest show that was based off a Japanese reality contest. Where, you know, it's like an obstacle course, you know, type of, you know, and they have these guys that are just completely, you know, fitness guys that participate in it. Not like big stocky guys, like guys that are just, you know, well-rounded fitness-wise. Have you ever seen that?
Nope. Never. It sounds like some, I thought I'd heard of it before. And they have to do like parkour shit or something?
No, it's just like the obstacle course just really pushes you to, you know, like you have to do like the salmon row like stuff, you know, like where you're throwing the bar up to another notch and up to another notch to climb it, and then, you know, it's just that sort of. Look it up. It's kind of cool. Sure. My son loves that freaking show. But man, yeah, those guys.
What is core strength and healthier bone density with free weights? Hold on, some of your chat is wrestling my jammies.
we're gonna turn this into a freaking fitness show, man. After a
while. No, I'm just curious. Like... Fuck, let's like.
Core density, doing body weight guys helps core density too. It's just any kind of weight in general is gonna help your bone density.
I feel like the problem is if you do the body weight exercises really shittily, then obviously like if you just do like 70 push-ups and then you're like, I did it, like, I mean, obviously that would be really bad, but I mean, as long as you figure out a way to train whatever muscle groups you need to until the muscle fails, like the way that I progress through my shit, like I can do like certain kinds of push-ups or pull-ups until I can't do them anymore. Like I literally can't push out another rep. Like, I mean, what would be the difference between doing that using my body weight or using like a weight? Like, what's the difference? I don't understand.
Yeah, there's not.
I mean, as long as you figure out ways to work the muscle, the groups of muscles, why does it matter if you're using?
I mean, if you're gonna get technical, there are positions that you can't probably get. You know, you can't practically get to. Without
different range of motion. I mean, yeah, I guess, you know, like if you wanted to like isolate train like fucking like one muscle or something, then. But yeah, I'm not bodybuilding or like trying to. Literally, because there are some people that lift weights to only like work on like certain muscles. Yeah, or whatever. Interested in that. I'm just like building general strength or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. The cool thing about doing, you know, the sort of thing that you're doing too, is that it kind of scales too, because as you build muscle, you do, you know, a lot of times you'll get heavier too. So your body weight's going to go up too, right? As you go. So, it doesn't go up very much though. It's still never as efficient as probably
using lots of reps. Use small weights makes you look toned. Less reps of heavy weights build more muscle. There's no such thing as toning. You're either losing fat or gaining fat. Or gaining muscle. There's no such thing as toning a muscle. It doesn't exist. There's no such thing. It doesn't make any sense. You get banned for that. You just got banned. I'm sorry, Chairman. There is no such thing as toning a muscle. I've fucking read enough shit on this stupid shit, and everything that I've read has always said that anybody that says anything about toning a muscle is full of shit. You're either building a muscle or you're not, or you're like losing weight. You're not.
Well, there's a concept of stretching a muscle and.
No,
building,
maybe you know, they're stretching, yeah. But there's no such thing as toning a muscle. It either gets bigger or it stays the same. You don't tone it, ever.
Yeah. I mean, you can go on. We're not going to freaking talk about this. we can talk. Sure. We can save some more of this fitness talk till next show. But okay, guys, that's going to be it for the show this week. We're not going to have a show next week because I have some work conflicts, unfortunately, man. We're killing
Oh shit! So that'll be 2 weeks. I'll be like ripped to shit by the time we come back.
Oh my god!
Shit, I'm just kidding.
wait. When is your 1 month?
I don't know. When did I post that?
That's true. Let me look. Yeah. Okay, April 25th. Okay, we'll make sure to have a show on.
To see a noticeable difference at by 4 months. I'm hoping that there will be like a pretty noticeable difference.
Okay, there's got to be a more noticeable difference than this, guys. Right, I just want to burn this image into y'all's brain first, so that you can see a difference later. All right, guys, so that's gonna be it for Unfiltered. The VODs will be up later tonight at youtube.com/chanmanv. Follow this channel if you love. Oh my god, there he goes. Follow this channel if you like the show. Oh, what happened, man? Let me see. I know what happened. Hold on, let me get him back on here in a second. You know, it was me. It was me. Hold on, let me go full screen real quick. But what I was going to say is follow the channel if you like Unfiltered or any of the other shows that I do each week. I appreciate that, and you'll get notified every time we go live. And oops, let me get them on here. And you can follow us on Twitter. Distracted here. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/ChanManV and twitter.com/Steven_Bonnell. It's coming. Yeah, that's exactly it. Putty kind of kaput on me. I always have to remember to type something in every once in a while. I forgot, though, the second half. Let's get Steven back on here just to say bye, and then we'll say see ya.
The person whom you're trying to reach.
What the fuck? Maybe we won't be saying bye. But anyways, yeah, so follow that stuff. Follow us on Twitter. I think that's about it, guys. The only thing is, Climbing the Ladder's tomorrow. And if you guys are into the whole map-making scene or just curious about what's going on, there's a lot of craziness going on there, too, or just support the map-making scene, watch Climbing Ladder tomorrow. We'll have...
the person whom you're trying to reach...
We'll have two members, two map-makers, and Plexa from Team Liquid. So check that out. And I guess Steven is not available, so we'll just call it a day and see you guys in 2 weeks. All right, later. Thank you.